Hello everybody and welcome to the Leaders in Supply Chain podcast. I am your host, Radu Palamariu, Global Logistics and Supply Chain Practice Head for Morgan Phillips. My job is to connect you with global experts, thought leaders and executives in all things supply chain. I will do my best to pick their brains on supply chain and logistics leading edge technologies, leadership stories and personal success habits. It is my pleasure to have with us today Roxanne Deshmish. She is the head of supply chain for Asia Pacific at Infineon. Roxanne is a senior executive and global leader with 15 years experience in high-tech industries, and she's a passionate promoter and driver of Industry 4.0 initiatives, as well as a gender diversity leadership influencer. Stay tuned as we cover key topics in global production network, in supply chain 4.0, in global supply chain and real-time visibility, as well as we talk about how does an engineer lead a global supply chain practice. Without further ado, here is episode 4. Roxanne, welcome, and it's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Radu, for having me here today. I guess with all the lined up questions, we will have a quite engaging conversation.
Thank you. Indeed. I look forward to it. So, as usually, we follow more or less the same patterns in our podcast. So we'll start with questions related to the industry, supply chain 4.0, latest trends, technologies, interesting case studies at Infineon. We'll move into talent, skill sets, career development questions, and we'll finish with a couple of personal sharing you might have for our audience. So let's start. Maybe if you can just briefly introduce yourself, Roxanne, a little bit further and tell our audience who you are and what you've done.
So I've been in Asia for about more than 10 years, and somehow it's the same as my career in supply chain. Originally, I have a technical background, so I'm an engineer. I started my career as a product engineer. All along in the high-tech industry, took on some more management responsibility, moved to China before moving to Singapore. Maybe I first give a short introduction about Infineon in case people do not know us, which is very often. Since we act in the B2B business. So we are high-tech company in the semiconductor industry. We offer product and system which makes your life easier, safer, and greener. If you have to remember something from today, maybe you should recall that your life is very miserable without our solution. Let me illustrate with a couple of examples. So no Facebook without semiconductor, because no server with enough power to store and transact all your information. No mobile phone, no tap pay when you enter the MRT. And of course, the most important, no smart car to protect your life when you are on the road. So very embedded in daily life. We are a German company headquartered in Munich, around about 6.5 billion euro. Singapore is the home of our second largest supply chain footprint, which is exactly my organization. In Singapore, we have our global logistic hub for the region and other couple of functions. So we have manufacturing here, looking at the global test competence. We have a design center as well, and we somehow cover about less than half of Infineon global revenue. We have different divisions, like you could capture from server to automotive, and this means different business model. So automotive being more long-term forecasting, long product life cycle, whereas some of our security division, it's a lot of bidding business, which indirectly brings a lot of different challenge from a supply chain perspective, since we cannot handle it exactly in the same way. And in terms of product category, we have commodity product, which is a small portion of our portfolio, a huge portion which is more application specific, and a smaller portion in terms of commodity. So this is a bit to set the scene in terms of supply chain. So in Singapore and in the region, I have around about 300 people in six different countries. Either closer to our customer or closer to our manufacturing sites. We have a good blend of regional responsibility and global responsibility. So typically, if I illustrate, global responsibility would be on supply planning, since it's not regional specific. More regional responsibility would be exactly in the customer interaction. We, on top of this, in supply, in Finnian supply chain, we have the exotic things of hosting manufacturing IT.
Wow. Okay.
Which is pretty unique. So we don't have purchasing, but we have manufacturing IT. And this gives us quite a lot of opportunity to maybe guide a better plan to make integration. And that's where when we talk about Industry 4.0 and the connection between the smart factory and the smart supply chain gives us quite a lot of opportunity of joint project. And indeed for Singapore, we have set somewhere last year a smart enterprise project, which is to help us transform our local site into a smart enterprise.
Wow, impressive. Yeah, indeed, that's not a typical supply chain setup. So that's, I'm sure that the audience will want to know more about it. Yeah, super.
So, yes, if we try to know more about it, so looking at some of our case study, we do have currently a project which we call Global Production Network, which has a purpose to connect all our manufacturing site together, manufacturing site be it our internal site as well as our outsourcing partner for better supply chain visibility, supply chain control in real time. And this is typically one of those projects where I do understand the value of having manufacturing IT in supply chain.
Yeah.
In contrast to supply chain IT.
Yeah.
So supply chain IT is still part of IT.
Yeah. Wow. And I mean, there's a lot of talk about that, and I think a lot of companies are trying to do that. I mean, visibility is a big thing. Going digital is a big thing. Definitely interesting, and I'm good to hear that you're making so advanced steps to integrate. And then that actually that brings us to the question, because I wanted to, it can be about this, it can be other case studies as well, but the question was more or less if you can share one or two case studies where you've achieved already what you've done so far in terms of supply chain transformation, maybe with some examples and data in terms of what you managed to do already in Infineon, because you're quite advanced and you know, I'm sure you have a lot to share.
So our global production network, which I quoted before, is more to prepare ourselves for the future. We needed to lay some foundation before going into such a project. One of those, definitely to gain more efficiency, was our lean planning project, which was completed somewhere in the middle of 2012. To be very honest, this was our third attempt in planning re-engineering. But finally, the third attempt is successful. So to the audience, never give up, be resilient. At one point in time, you will find the right entry point, or the organization will be prepared to move forward. And this lean planning project took the stand that we should plan at different level depends on the time horizon, being very precise in the short term.
Yeah.
And for us, short term will be about 6 months, since our manufacturing cycle time is fairly long, and being more aggregated in the mid to long term. And this has helped us to gain efficiency in terms of resources, in terms of time we spend at planning. So the short term can be updated every day. The midterm is now moved to a quarterly update, whereas in the past we were just updating the whole horizon every single month, knowing that on the day you do planning, it's immediately obsolete the following day.
Yeah, absolutely.
So definitely gaining a lot of speed. Data are aggregated in a different level in the short term and in the midterm, which helps you also to be more accurate, because the higher the aggregation, the better chance to be accurate. Doing some portion of data being meant for capacity planning and invest reservation before we really do the execution.
Yeah.
So this has transformed the whole organization. Another very important aspect of this is in the past, there was a lot of different system which we were using to do planning. Sales was using one, marketing another one, finance another one, and you can be sure the data never tally. Finally, we have now one system where everybody can look from a different angle. So if you want to do your revenue forecast, you look from a revenue angle. If you want to do your capacity forecast, you look from another angle, but it's all within one system, which in fact we co-developed with one of our system provider. So,
which is now a commercial solution. Yeah.
So,
absolutely. It's a win-win for you as well as for them, because they can sell the same solution to other companies.
Right? Exactly. So that was definitely one of the important first step into our overall supply chain integration approach.
Yeah. And how I mean, just to go with one question further, how did you do it? I mean, because that's the conundrum, or that's the difficulty, I think, that most people face, most companies face. How do you align sales and marketing and planning and this and that? And, you know, how do you get together all these stakeholders that have other things to do that don't bother sometimes about it, right?
I think the reason why it worked this time around was definitely it was quoted as a lighthouse project with Infineon board attention.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that immediately helps you to be on the agenda of everybody. And I think the gap we had in the past between the revenue forecast and the manufacturing forecast was always creating a lot of conflict, and everybody wanted, was quite motivated to make sure this tally, so that we would not spend time just to align the data, but more spend more time in value-add activities.
Got it. And yeah, and it always helps to get the board, or to get the key stakeholder involved, the CEO or president, to drive it, because it, yeah, typically it sends a good message to everybody. It's important.
Yeah. And so as a complement to this, so what worked for this project and what works more on the other project I wanted to bring up, which is what we call one interface to the customer, which was a project coming up after the acquisition we had in 2015 of external company. And this, the purpose of the project was really to make sure that from a customer side, they would have a seamless perspective, even though the internal processes might still be different. I don't quote this project for the detail of it, because that would not be of too much use, but I think this project was successful because we had a very systematic and rigorous change management approach, which is often what we fail when we engage in big projects. We neglect the reaching out of the organization with the various stakeholders. This helped our lean planning, but lean planning, we were not entirely mature with OITC. We really had, within the project, a full track just responsible for change management, going in the area of newsletter, regular webinars, trainings, depending on the ranking in the organization and the need, a very adapted communication. And this made this project extremely successful, because when we rolled out, everybody was ready, including our customer.
Perfect. Ideal scenario, actually.
Ideal scenario, but really not so much on the content, really much on the change management. And moving forward, all our big projects have now systematically a change management track.
Yeah.
This is one of the learning from our past experience.
And it's an excellent point. I mean, and that's, again, it's a, how to say, it's case book. I mean, it's a case study that a lot of the MBAs quote, and there's so many unsuccessful transformations, and typically where it fails because change management is not done, because people are not on board, or nobody bothers to ask for their opinion, they don't feel they listen to, they sabotage the change. So that's actually a big, it's a great sharing, it's a big, big thing, change management.
We were tracking every quarter, this curve of change when you are in denial, when you are in despair, by survey. So we were, in fact, surveying the audience and the participants, and so we were really monitoring to make sure that everybody was moving up to the engagement phase.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
Next question would be in terms of technology. So I think technology is transforming supply chains all over the world. I think it's probably speeding up a lot the process of transformation. Which technology trend in supply chain will likely make the most impact by 2020, in your opinion?
So from my perspective, I think we talked a little bit before about those visibility platform. Visibility platform in two sense. Manufacturing visibility, which is what I quoted as our Global Production Network program, as well as the transport, so intercompany shipment, transport to customer visibility platform. In order to manage risk more effectively and efficiently than today, in order as well to gain cost benefit, because you have a more transparent view as of how much you spend for different activities. In terms of reactivity, because those platforms are meant to give you real-time information, whereas most of us today, we are data mart based companies, so most of the information you have are always one day late.
Yeah.
And if you are in our case, where we have our headquarter in Germany, where most of the reports are refreshed in the morning time, Germany time, then we have even more than one day gone. So this is really something which I see will become more and more important, particularly with globalization. So more and more companies are relying with working along a very fragmented network, and those platforms should help to get everybody on the same page at any point in time. So this is one. The second, which I am a strong believer in, is big data and analytics. Not only big data, so everybody talks about big data. Big data is only the foundation, is useless if you don't have analytics. And everybody should also understand that the analytics is also only the beginning. So the analytics helps you to build a storyline, but that helps the engineer or the supply chain planner to drill down to why his KPI is failing, or if we take this example. So this will give us a lot more proactiveness. So maybe becoming more and more predictive instead of only being reactive and explaining the past, so looking at explaining the future.
Super. No, it's great. Great examples, and thank you for that. So what does supply chain 4.0 mean to you? It's a term. It's I think it's 4.0 or 3.0. What is supply chain of the future? What does it mean to you?
So maybe I bring it to so we are a German company, so I will bring it to industry 4.0. Of course we are a very active player, or we were a very active player in the definition of the industry 4.0 framework. I like this quote from, Dr. Kegel, the CEO of Pepper & Fuchs, which says, Germany normally is not very good at marketing, but for Industry 4.0, they did a super job, since it has been broadly adapted and then cascaded down to even supply chain 4.0. So within Infineon, we do have Industry 4.0 framework, which include both our factory, so smart factory, as well as smart supply chain. And it's all talking about digitalization in all the area we cover. So and digitalization from looking at information, knowledge, prediction, and up to automated decision as and when appropriate. So it's also not the point to go for automated decision for everything.
Absolutely.
So you really have to make sure you know where you want to drive. We want on our side to leverage more on the data we collect so that we can get knowledge, we can optimize our processes. We will introduce robotics as and when appropriate because robotics remains quite expensive, so you need really to make sure you have your return on investment and you need to sort through where exactly you need robotics. Being connected within our supply chain, so internally, so typically visibility platform will be one of the media, as well as with our customer and suppliers. And of course, we are always thinking of having a digital workplace, which means more and more information gathered and delivered to the individual instead of manual report, manual data extraction, widespread use of Excel.
Yeah.
But in all what we do, or in all what Supply Chain 4.0 should be, is with a purpose. So our purpose is really to improve productivity, to improve speed, and to improve quality. So moving forward, within this framework we have defined, we will define a couple of projects along different angle of our supply chain, but each project will have a return on investment. So
yeah.
Again, it's not about starting all over the place. It's really prioritizing where you can have the best gain.
It's about being pragmatic. I mean, it is a business. The business makes money. We need to, I mean, that needs to be... And that's, I mean, actually, it's an excellent point because there's a lot of hype, and even alongside technology, and you know, everybody's talking about what artificial intelligence and blockchain and this and that. Correct, but you know, as of today, and even maybe for the next 3 years, blockchain will change a lot, probably, but you know, it will take time. Artificial intelligence will change a lot, definitely, but it will take time.
Exactly.
So in the meantime, we need to be, you know, like you rightfully mentioned. Focus on the things that will matter tomorrow, and then the day after tomorrow, and then in 3 years. So it's and results need to come as you go, not in 5 years, because it's a little bit too long for any business.
But it's good to have a plan, to know to which level you want. So looking, so how we do it, we will look at process by process, where we are today, which level do we want to achieve, by when,
yeah.
For which purpose, and then derive the related project, and that's how we will continue to transform our supply chain.
Mm. And to get to that vision and to get to that industry 4.0, supply chain 4.0, as of today, what is one or two of the biggest challenges that you face around getting there?
Well, definitely we as Infineon are spin-off of Siemens. So back in 1999, if I'm not mistaken. But being a spin-off means we have inherited a lot of legacy system. And this makes it always very difficult to make change, because we always have to make sure if we want to remove a data field, whether or not it's filling up in another database or in another system, which is essential, but which we might forget. So this transforming this is really a challenge to transform our supply chain, because whenever we would like to go to the final decision or the final solution, it requires always a longer period of time compared to being a startup or starting from fresh, because you need to sometimes make compromise down the road along the way till all your other legacy system are either removed or replaced. So this definitely is one of the critical point. Additional to this, of course, we have been traditionally having a lot of in-house manufacturing, which is the value we bring to our customer, because we believe we have a competitive advantage with our manufacturing capability. However, looking at the need for flexibility to cover up forecast inaccuracy, we are now leveraging more and more with outsourcing partners, and this means our supply chain is steadily transforming into a supply network. And then the challenge is how to manage your supply network as efficiently as you used to manage your own. And our big picture is to manage our supply chain as a global virtual factory. So we believe we manage a factory very well. We want to manage a global virtual factory also very well. But this is where we need to have a couple of projects, so global production network being one of those, to be able to achieve this big picture.
Yeah, super. Thank you. Thank you for the sharing. How about another buzzword? It's actually not a buzzword. It's another technology that is deeply interesting for a lot of people. The Internet of Things, connectivity. How are you currently using any IoT solutions in your supply chain?
So we use IoT mainly in our manufacturing area. And of course, we have the wish to try to adopt some of the methodology which are used in manufacturing for supply chain. In supply chain today, the best example I could quote maybe is our mobile data entry, but whether it's really qualified as IoT devices, I'm not completely sure. What we have in plan, mainly for warehouse, is to introduce global cargo tracking within the warehouse premises using Bluetooth beacon and intelligent sticker. So this is really to make sure that we know at which point in time, at any point in time, where the cargo is positioned, so that when the forwarder comes to pick, the picking process is quite efficient. So this is one in the plan project to introduce IoT. Another will be to look at heat map again in the warehouse, tracking through the mobile data entry, for example, the flow of goods or the movements of picker, so that down the road we can also remove unnecessary steps picker is taking, so that we improve productivity. But this is really at a very early stage at this point. So we are leveraging from the experience we have in manufacturing. So typically we introduce in manufacturing mobile devices a couple of months ago, where the information is pushed to the operator, which has reduced exactly the traveling from the operator within the warehouse, within the factory premises, and along the same principles, that's what we would like to look at for warehouse.
And again, I mean, like we discussed before, baby steps with returns on investment, and then you will eventually get
exactly.
A good question, and I like to ask this question. I think we had it in the first podcast as well. It's back to the fundamentals as well. So it goes like, before investing hundreds of thousands of dollars in digital new tech and so on and so forth, what do you still consider? What's the fundamentals that the supply chain needs to have in today's environment? What's the really basics?
The basic is standardization. You need to make sure you have clean data, that they are stored somewhere, that they are representative of what is happening, not fake data. You need to have very well documented processes and as much as possible digital connection, particularly with your customer or your supplier or within your premises, so that you avoid manual intervention and have then data which are definitely cleaner than if you have a lot of manual intervention. To grow further, I think you need to have a very systematic process to address your gaps. Prioritize, drive improvement accordingly. And what I am a strong believer of is you should not fall in the trap to believe that software will solve all your problems. So which is usually what people tend to do, because of course this is the easiest thing to do. But software will only help if the process which is behind the software is clear and if the software can rely on data which are representative. So software is really, maybe I might be a bit of a surprise for the audience, but software is really the least of your challenges. But this is, and we do it all the time. I'm responsible for manufacturing IT. I can see we are always jumping into the solution before discussing about the process and what is it that we want to achieve.
Yeah, and it's a common thing, and like going back to big data, big data, is it important? Well, yes and no. Yes, definitely it's important, but unless you have the analytics to properly analyze it, well, it's just as good as anything else.
Right? Exactly.
Very good point. Final question on the industry segment. If you would be an investor and had lots and lots of money, which supply chain related startup would you invest in and why?
Well, I think there is still a huge untapped potential in data analytics. So any startup which is playing in that field will be of relevance because there is a lot of untapped potential in data to create knowledge, prediction, and of course down the road, automated decision. At this moment, there is no one-fit-for-all solution, and that's where the value of leveraging so startup, which might have a very specific domain knowledge, and if you are an investor, investing in this domain knowledge will help to somehow bring up more and more big data, data analytics solution. Down the road, there might be some consolidation, but at this point in time, we should try to invest as wild as possible till some very critical solutions surface. Mm-hmm. So this is one. Then, like we discussed before, I think visibility and connectivity platform, particularly connectivity platform, because there is more and more trend to have outsourcing or even from our side, our customer are also now more and more keen that we use their supplier portal. All good, but if
how do you plug it in? Yeah.
How you plug it in, except by having a human to intervene. And this is, if we want to look at productivity, this is definitely counterproductive.
Not really an option. Yeah.
So that's why I think those companies which have a solution in the area of visibility and connectivity will be worth considering.
Mm-hmm. Super, good example.
This is the end of part one. Stay tuned for part two, where we talk more about recruitment, talent, and skills gaps.